tonight we get to hear from Isaiah, and before we get into our Isaiah reading from Isaiah 58, last week some of our students got to hear Isaiah's call story, and so God had called out and said, "Who shall I send and who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here I am, send me." And then here's what God said Isaiah was going to be sent to do. "You are going to speak to a people who will not listen." How does that sound? Is that the kind of call you would want? You're going to speak to a people who will not hear you and will not understand. So not a great call, but that's what Isaiah's called to do. So that's back in the beginning of Isaiah. And then we get to Isaiah 58, which is where we are today. We jump ahead. And as we get into it, we see a challenge that the people had back then and also a challenge we still face today. And the question might be, will we listen? So as we get into our reading, we'll hear God speaking to the people about fasting. And maybe not everybody here knows what fasting is. Does anyone want to share what fasting is? What is fasting? Giving up something? Is that what I heard? So you might give up something for a time? Yeah. Yeah. Giving up food. So back then they would give up food for a day or part of the day or longer. And then when they would feel hunger, it would remind them of to rely on God, that they could rely on God. Yep. So we're going to hear a little bit about fasting in here. But we also hear that the people in Isaiah's time, they do all kinds of faith practices. They fast, they pray, they worship. But here's the problem. They only do it to be seen by God. They do it so that God would notice them and bless them more. They don't actually want these faith practices to change their lives. So let's read Isaiah chapter 58. So God speaks to the prophet Isaiah, and that's where we start. "Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness," meaning right relationship with God and with each other, "and did not forsake the ordinance of their God." Now that word ordinance in the original language of the scripture is often translated not as ordinance, but it's often translated as justice. So when you hear the word justice, or as someone wants to get justice, what do you often think of? If somebody wants to get justice, what do we think of? Can you say it really loud, Audrey? Get their rights? Yeah, get their rights. And sometimes I think we think of revenge, like someone getting revenge or getting what they deserve, like punishment. That's not really the justice that's being talked about here. This is God's restorative justice. It's justice that works for the world to be ordered rightly and for people to have what they need and to be treated with equity. That's kind of God's version of justice. And that's not what the people of Isaiah's time are doing. So they did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. And then the people say to God, "Why do we fast, but you don't see us? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice?" And they hear, "Look, you serve your own interests on your fast day and oppress all your workers." They're doing all this holy stuff, and then they're treating people horribly. God doesn't like that. "Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house when you see the naked to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin?" And these kinds of ways of living, working for justice, feeding those who are hungry, these kinds of ways, when we live this out, what naturally flows is what we're going to hear. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. The word of the Lord. So my husband once said a few years ago, he said, God is not a vending machine. So if you think about a vending machine, you put your quarters or your money in, select what you want, and out it comes. So he's like, God is not a vending machine. But the people in Isaiah's time are sort of treating God like a vending machine. They have this holy currency of prayers and worship and fasting, and they think if they do this, they can just select and God will give them whatever they want. But the thing is, for we who belong to God, to our Savior Jesus Christ, who doesn't operate like a vending machine, but he is instead constantly there, providing for us, helping us, comforting us, challenging us with his grace, not because of anything we do, not because of any holy works we do, but that's just who our God is, always there for us. Our faith practices, like worship and Bible study and prayer and fasting, our faith practices just help us be more aware of this God. Though for the people of Isaiah's time, it totally didn't help them that much. So this season in the church year that we're starting, this season of Lent, it's a time where people typically focus on discipleship, on trying to follow Jesus more fully. So historically, people in churches have like given up something for Lent. How many people here have ever given something up for Lent? Yeah, a lot of us have done that, right? Because it's supposed to remind us. If we give something up, it reminds us of Jesus giving up his very life for us on the cross. But it gives us this challenge. We begin Lent with this time focusing on discipleship, a time where people are to do extra worship or start a new Bible study or a devotion or fast from something. But we also just read Isaiah 58, which talks about God's people long ago who did all that, and then their worship and their prayers had no impact on how they lived. They didn't look out for the good of the people around them. So they would pray over here, and then they would oppress people over here. They'd go to worship over here, and then they would blame each other and speak evil of one another over here. That's not what God wants, right? God is inviting them to live a different way. So they would worship, but it would not move them to be a part of God's restorative justice, a justice that is about having practices and systems in place that help people have equity. So if we shift gears for a moment, I know we have some gymnasts here, right? We have some people who are involved in gymnastics. How many of you, not just the gymnasts, but how many of you have ever been on a balance beam before? How many of you ever tried to walk on a balance beam? Yes. So you might not know this about me, but I did gymnastics once in my life. I was 4, and it was very short-lived, but I remember walking that low balance beam. And when you walk that balance beam or a fence, like a wider fence, people sometimes do that, there's this fear of falling off on one side or the other. And the same is true when it comes to our Christian life. It can be similar. So if you can picture walking on this fence, I've got a picture that we'll put up here. So there's this girl walking on a fence. And if you kind of picture like the Christian life that way, we have this danger as we follow Jesus of falling off on one extreme or the other. So if we fall off on one side, you can see the side with the cushy part there. That's having faith practices without practicing God's justice. So it's when we get all involved in worship and prayer and Bible study, maybe we give generously, we do all these great things that God wants us to do, but it's when we think that's all we need to do as followers of Jesus. It doesn't really shape how we live with the people around us. So while our relationship with God is so important and so personal, it's never private. So if we fall off on this side, we end up getting involved in all these holy practices, but it doesn't impact how we live with the people around us. It doesn't push us to live out God's restorative justice in this world. If you fall off on the other edge, to the other extreme, you end up doing all kinds of serving without the encouragement of Jesus. So for us who follow Jesus, if we end up doing all the serving and the justice work, do all that, but never pay any attention to worship and prayer and reading our Bibles, then we can kind of get burnt out, or we can think it all depends on us instead of on God, or we can have a shallow relationship with Jesus. And different church traditions tend to be better in some of these than others. So like there's some churches that are so good, and I'm kind of jealous of how well they invite people into reading the Bible and getting to pray and have a relationship with Jesus. Lutherans often have fallen off on the other side. We've been all about serving and doing good work, but sometimes don't have a deep understanding of our scripture or deep prayer life. And really, both are needed. So I've shared this image of a figure eight before, but I think it's a nice way to think about the Christian life. That we come to worship or Bible study or doing prayer, talking with God, to be renewed so that we can go out and serve. And then we come back to be renewed again and shaped by Jesus so that we can go out and serve the rest of the week. Now, if we think a little bit about what gets in the way of this, I think about sin. And back when I was in sixth or seventh grade, like some of you students here, I was at youth group. And my pastor wrote the word sin up on the board. And he wrote it with a small S, a capital I, and a small N, showing that sin is really at its root about self-centeredness, right? It's all about I. It's about me. It's being tuned into yourself and being concerned only for yourself and for your own. And that's kind of what Isaiah was dealing with the people at that time. As human beings, we can be really stuck in being self-centered and just thinking about ourselves. We know what we're going through. We know what fears we have, what concerns we have. And sometimes we're not as motivated to really listen for the concerns and the fears and to work for the concerns and fears of others, especially if we don't know them. So this Ash Wednesday, I want to invite us to think about taking up a faith practice from now until Easter to help us be more aware of Jesus, because we need it and because this world needs it. So I have a handout I'll invite you to take up. It's that purple handout that was in the bulletins. I had mine and it disappeared. Can I borrow somebody's? Thank you. So I won't read all these things, but the first step is to pick one of these things or to try out your own. So like one of them is take a social media break for the 40 days of Lent. What would it look like to take some time off of social media? And if 40 days seems too long, I see people going, no way. You can set a timer each day and just say, I'm just going to spend this much time. Some people call it doom scrolling. Some of us have been doing some doom scrolling. Set this much time where I'm going to do that, or this much time where I'm going to watch a TikTok videos or YouTube videos or whatever. And when your timer goes off, put it away and say a prayer or read a scripture. Another thing you could try is to pay attention to your classmates or your coworkers or the people around you. Just really be aware. And try to notice if someone else is down or someone's not being welcomed or is being mistreated, and say a prayer for them. And then offer a kind word or a smile. There's all kinds of things and ideas here. If you turn it over, I'll let you read it on your own. But I encourage each of us to pick one or to come up with our own. And then step two, as you practice this new faith practice from now until Easter, intentionally pray and reflect on, how is this practice helping me show Jesus' love to the people around me? How is this practice helping me partner with God in creating a better community and a better world? Because we and the world need it. As God promises in Isaiah, when we live in relationship with God and work for the well-being of all people, we are promised that what flows out of that kind of living is what we heard in Isaiah. Your light shall break forth like the dawn. You shall be like a watered garden. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. May these kinds of things be the result of our relationship with Jesus. Things like light and life, repair and restoration for us and for God's world. Amen.